we are continuing to look at the court system of engaging God. On the pathway of relationship, God is calling us all into deeper intimacy with him to know who we are and to know who he is in relationship. And we've seen that that flows from heaven through our spirit into the world around us, but it has to go through our soul first to engage our body and the world. So we've seen that to be able to do that, we can use the legal system or the courts of heaven to keep and open our gates. And that's what we've been looking at in this session. And we've looked at how our gateways function, and now we're looking at court of accusation. And we're looking at court cases, examples. And the whole purpose of this really is so that we can actually see everything flow from the inside out. And ultimately, we want our spirit around our body, encompassing us, so we engage the world in a spiritual dimension first, because everything comes out of the spiritual realm and everything is spiritual. We just see it from a perspective that we've learned to see the world, but God wants us to engage it through spiritual means. Our problem with that is that there are blockages. We know there are familiar spirits and different things that block our life. They influence us, try and control us through guilt, shame, condemnation, memories, mindsets, lies, hurts, pains, doubts, fears, many different ways in which the enemy tries to hinder that flow of the life of God. And the river of God's grace and mercy flowing through us is to get us to focus on our soul and get us to focus on how we have been shaped and changed by the events of trauma, nature, nurture. They've affected us. So we need to be free from that. And the soul ties that our soul has to our spirit is for independence, and God wants us to separate those things. So we've seen, as a recap, the enemy's a legalist. He has to be given permission or a legal right to operate, and Adam and Eve gave him that legal right. Jesus came to take that back, and we get to choose which pathway we follow, whether we're going to follow the pathway of the tree of life or we're going to follow the pathway of knowledge of good and evil. It's a choice that God has given us. If we give authority to the enemy, then he will use that authority against us and through us. So we have to remove the enemy from our gates. Therefore, we need to remove the legal right the enemy might have to be there. Zechariah 3, 1 to 5, 6 are scriptures we've used to indicate this is what the court system was. Joshua the high priest was standing in heaven in a court, and Satan was accusing him. And the Lord set up a procedure where he would give us clothes of righteousness, therefore we could stand confident, and therefore we stand in what Jesus has done on the cross and receive a verdict in our behalf, because the court is rigged in our favor. Because we have the judge, who's our father, and we have Jesus, our brother, who is our advocate. And it's all there, but we have to engage it. So we need to understand the protocols of the court, the fact that we have legal right to stand there, and the fact that we stand covered by the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the love of God in a new covenant of relationship. So in the court, as we've seen, there are various things. We are the accused. We need to engage the accuser to hear what the accusations are, and then we get a favorable verdict. So we can make pleas to the court. It's not just we do a court case on the basis of something that's an accusation against us. We can actually use things to make a plea to the court. And that plea can give us good things. So those pleas must have a legal foundation as the basis on which we make them. We can't just go in there and plea for anything. It has to have some foundation. That foundation is found in the Word of God and in the character and nature of Jesus. So we need to know who God is, so we can make those pleas effective. Psalm 23:3, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everything that we do is designed to bring glory to God and to bring honor to his name. Therefore, we can use that and plead the honor and glory of God's name. So we can use the fact that we have the authority to honor him as a way of introducing that to our own lives. But there are many other things we can use. So the relationship that God has for us and to us is something we can use. So he is, and these are examples of who God is to us. He is our creator, Psalm 119:73. So we have access to creation because he is our creator. Romans 8:15, he is our Father. Psalm 40:17, he is our helper. Isaiah 63:16, he is our Redeemer. Hebrews 2:11, he's our brother. Romans 8:16, he's our co-heir. Luke 2:11, he's our Savior. Now you think, well, how do I use that? Well, you use the fact that the Word of God gives you that relationship, and you use that to make your plea. So on behalf of the fact that God is my Father and I am his Son, I have the right of sonship there. I have the right to operate in authority in God's kingdom. And I can use that if I know my relationship to God and who he is. You know, he is my Redeemer. Therefore, he has bought back everything that was robbed and stolen, and where I was in a prison, if you like. To redeem something is to buy it back. So I might have been in a prison of bondage. Jesus came to the cross. He broke the power of sin and death and all the curses. Therefore, I can use that fact to see things redeemed and brought back into wholeness in my life. But I have to know the reality of who God is and my relationship to him. And there are obviously lots of examples there, and you can probably find lots of others in the names of God and who God is. Plead God's attributes. Now, what's an attribute? It's something that someone has that is a useful thing. So justice is an attribute of God. And you can find the scriptures there, Genesis 18:25, Nehemiah 9:33. And because one of God's attributes is justice, therefore we can use justice as a basis of making a plea for justice. And justice is, we want the right verdict, we want a result. So if injustice is, I've been robbed, what's justice? I get things restored. So I can use that to bring about justice in my own life. Compassion, righteousness, faithfulness, covenant keeping. And that's a really important one, because God keeps his promises, and all the promises of God are yes in Christ, and all the covenants of God are realized in Christ. So they all belong to me in the new covenant. So every promise that God has made in Christ finds its fulfillment in the new covenant, and therefore we can use that as a plea to see those promises fulfilled in our lives. But you have to know the promises. If you don't know the promise, how are you going to actually plea in it? So it's important to know what God has said about you, who he has called you to be, what he's given you as rights. You know, if you do not know your rights, how can you exercise them? If you do not know what belongs to you as a son of God, how can you claim it? So God wants us to claim the things that belong to us on the basis of who he is. Mercy. Now, if you need mercy, it's really good to know that God is a God of mercy. Loving kindness. Loving kindness is a covenant word. It's the word hesed, and it actually means that in covenant, God is faithful. He will never go back on a promise. He is always faithful in every way towards his promises towards us. So use those attributes in your pleas. Now you can plead the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven and gives us access into the heavenly realm. So in any court of law, we need to know the legal right that we have to stand in that court. It is the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:12, he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So that gives us some really good clues there, what Jesus has done for us. With his own blood as a sacrifice, he's gone into heaven to the most holy place, presented that blood. That then gives us an eternal right to enter and to come into fullness of salvation. So we have eternal redemption. It's not just that we were bought back once. That is ongoing, so that eventually we will come into everything that God wants us to have if we follow through in the process of relationship. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, so our confidence to come before a court is on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. Another verse says that he opened up his flesh or veil so that we could come through it to engage heaven. So he's pulled back the veil between the tabernacle, temple, and the holy place is torn, so that we all have access to engage God in heaven. And we don't have to die to do it physically, although it's very good to die to ourselves, because that gives us really good access. So our standing in the court is the blood of Jesus. So we can plead that finished work on the cross on our behalf in accordance with God's will and his glory. We can use that. We can actually trade in what he's done. We can exchange everything on the cross. Old for new. Sickness for health. Everything that comes from our old life, guilt, shame, condemnation, for justification. Sin, righteousness. Everything that Jesus did on the cross was to bring us into the fullness of our inheritance as his children. So we can plead the word of God and the promises of God. You can make that as a case. God, you promised this. The one I use all the time is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And what were those things? Everything I need will be added if I seek first his kingdom. So that's a good deal, but you have to use that. So there are times I remind God of that deal when some of the things aren't being added as they should be, because there may be opposition. So I go and remind him, hey, we have a deal. I seek first your kingdom and do it in the way that you've said, in a righteous way, and you will meet all these needs. Because I haven't got time to seek your kingdom and do the fullness of all that I'm doing if I've got to deal with all these other things as well. So I'm going to remind you of your promise that you promised to deal with all these other things. And I've got a testimony of that. It's not my testimony, but it's a good one from a friend of mine. She does the same thing. She uses that scripture. And she basically has a whole load of houses, and they fund her ministry, if you like. And she had the estate agent ring up to say, look, the tenants who are in this house have left, and they've left the house in a really bad state. So you're going to have to come up, and you're going to have to sort the house out before we can rent it out again. So she said, I haven't got time to do that. So God, I'm coming to remind you of your promise. So I'm asking you to deal with this situation. 2 days later, the estate agent again phones her back and says, oh, thank you for sorting it all out. We can now rent it out. She hadn't done anything, and yet the whole house was completely redecorated. Angels are very good with a paintbrush. Now, you see, these are the sorts of things that you can start to see, miraculous outworkings of the kingdom, when you begin to trust in God's promises, but you then begin to use the promise to make a case. And it's okay. God does not mind us bringing things and reminding him at all. In fact, he wants us to do it. So quote God's promises reverently back to him. You know, don't do it in a way which is disrespectful, but do it in a way which recognizes your relationship in claiming those promises. David pressed God to fulfill his promises all the time. You can read it in the Psalms. You know, you'd be like, where are you, God? You promised. And God would remind him where he was, and the promises would be fulfilled. So remind God of his promises and his nature. Use those as a plea to get things done. Now, there are many examples of different court cases. There's some really good material out there. You can find it on the internet. There's a couple of really good Facebook pages that people do court cases in, that you can get files and some of the things that I've used and adapted, and they've used some of mine. So there are family children case. So this is an example of what you can do in dealing with family and children, because we all have issues in those areas. What do we do about them? Well, here's something you can do. You need some promises. Matthew 10:14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, because the disciples were saying, don't bring the children, because they're going to get in the way. And they were making a noise, or they would interrupt what Jesus was doing. And Jesus was quite indignant because he realized what they were doing, hindering children and presenting children as something less than what God sees them as. So this is what he said, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So we have a promise there. We've got lots of Old Testament promises, but here's one. Isaiah 54:13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now, that's a promise, but that promise is not guaranteed unless we make the case for that promise to be at work, particularly if our children are not necessarily able to make the case for themselves. So here's a case for dealing with some of the issues that may be affecting our children through their maternal and paternal generational bloodline. That means your inheritance coming from your past. So mother, father, grandparents, their grandparents, goes back a long way. So there may be some issues in our lives. So Father, I stand before the court for righteousness and justice. I stand here as your child, covered by your love, your word, and your blood. I petition the court for the cleansing of the bloodline of, use the child's name. Then sometimes you have to deal with the issues that cause the problems, either your problems or the problems that have been generational. So here are some repentance prayers based on the word of God. It's great to pray the word of God back in declaration or plea, because God hears his word and responds, because his word never comes back to him void. It always fulfills the purpose that he sent it. So all these are scriptures, but you can add your own, because there'll be scriptures that God gives you as promises that are specific, and you know that they're in your heart, and you can use them to outwork those things. So Lord, I repent where I have walked in my own understanding, my own way without you. And that comes from Proverbs 3. So I'm not going to quote the things. You can find out where they are yourself and find them for yourself. I repent, Father, for robbing my children of a relationship with you in areas I don't know. Because there are lots of ways in which we're not yet aware of the fully things, which we may well become aware when we go into the court and we get an accusation. So I'm just preparing the case that I may hear some accusations I might not like. Okay? Because we're not all perfect parents, are we? Unfortunately. Lord, I repent where I've obstructed and been a stumbling block for my children and therefore the next generations. Lord, I repent where I've not taught your ways, Lord. I repent where I have not let them be trained in the way that they should go. I repent where I've been tired and fatigued and have let things go. I repent where I've not let you build the house and I've tried to build it myself. Lord, I repent that I have hindered them in coming to you. I repent that I've not trusted you and I've leaned to my own understanding. I repent where I've not listened to your instruction and wise understanding and done things my own way. Lord, I repent for walking in my own self-righteousness. Lord, I repent where I have not walked in love or have been rude, arrogant, impatient, and unkind. I'm sure none of you as parents have ever been any of those towards your children, but just in case. Lord, I remind you of the promises of your word to me. So now you take the promises and then you engage them back to God. I am blessed, I fear the Lord, and I delight in his commandments. My offspring shall be mighty, and the generation of the upright shall be mighty. Light is my dawn in darkness for the upright. 1 Chronicles 17:23-27. Lord, I remind you that my children are a fruit of the womb, a reward like arrows, because I have filled my quiver and I will not be put to shame. Psalm 127:3-5. That they were formed in my inner parts by you. You knotted them together. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Their frames are not hidden from you as they were being made in the secret place in the depths of the earth. You saw them there, unformed, in their unformed parts, were written in your book, every part of them, their day. So Psalm 139. Use the scriptures and remind God of these promises for them. I ask that the verdict of the court be that his, her, mother's and father's bloodline and spiritual inheritance would be cleansed and not held against them. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, things can be visited on third, fourth generation, and where they're perpetuated, ongoing generations. So there may be things that are ongoingly affecting us and our children. I pronounce the blessing of God in salvation upon person. I call them out of darkness into light. And then sometimes we need to deal with things as couples. I come into your courts of heaven and take my stand. I make my decree on behalf of my husband or wife. I bring before the court the shed blood of Jesus, and I declare my wife's husband's innocence from his, her debts, because they were paid. So this is something that sometimes when, particularly if we've got a husband, wife who's not yet a Christian, we need to do things on their behalf, and sometimes things in our relationship we just need to deal with. Satan, therefore, has no legal rights to bind him, her, or us as his family, nor to bring us into slavery. Yes, we have sinned, but we have an advocate in Christ Jesus, so we are clean, and negative judgment cannot be pronounced upon us. I decree, therefore, the silencing of Satan and his accusing demons who have brought false accusations against us as a family, because sometimes we get into difficult situations. We need to deal with them. I command by the power of the Holy Spirit that Satan and all that he has been accusing and attacking my wife, husband, and our family are now bound and cast out into the wrath of God so that God deals with them. I break off all your power against us, Satan, and all your lies and accusations, and I cast them down as useless, powerless, under the jurisdiction of God Almighty. Now, these are things that you can make your own words, but take the sentiment and use it to deal with things in your everyday life. It's not just, oh, we're doing great things into the church or out into the community. This is daily stuff that we can deal with. So you, Satan, are found to be counterfeit and illegally trespassing, and you are sentenced to be cast out. Now you think, well, how do I get this from the Word of God? Well, Jesus did this all the time. You know, he cast out the enemy, particularly from Legion. Think of Legion. And he gave the enemy permission to go somewhere else. But he talked about that they wander around in waste places looking for someone to engage. So we've got to be on our guard and make sure that we deal with those things in our own life. I break your power and influences and strongholds completely against my husband or wife and our family. I speak forth now full deliverance, healing, and the overcoming power of Jesus into our lives. So there are promises for protection and provision and blessing that you need to use to declare and decree these things. So another issue is generational iniquity. And this is one which people struggle with because trying to identify with it. But there are things in our lives which are actually traits or characteristics or things that we struggle with or bondages that we're in that have a root in history, in our family lines. And that might be genetic, and it also may be within iniquity within our bloodlines. So there are genetic and there are epigenetic factors that affect us. And Numbers 4:18 is this scripture. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. So that is God's side of it. But if we do not come to receive forgiveness and deal with those things, then they remain on the statute against us, and the enemy can use them. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the generation to the third and fourth generations of the children. So that's a legal process. If we do not deal with the sin, then the enemy has a legal right, and therefore this is a legal transaction. So there are nations who are responsible for patterns of behavior in the Word of God. You can see that within certain nations, certain characteristics were in place. And they were responsible for certain patterns of behavior. Now, I've not got time to go into it in full. I did this in the Transformation series, and you can look at it in more full there. But the kings of those nations, who represented the authority of those nations, actually were not pure in their genetic material, and therefore their spirits are still actively trying to rule the atmosphere through culture today. And we live in the atmosphere or under it. We've got to be careful that we don't come under it. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there are things in place that are designed to take control of the atmosphere, the culture, and where we live and our lives. Now, the idols in the Old Testament were just stone or wood or various things, but they had something behind them. And all idolatry pollutes and defiles. So anything that we put before God can defile us and pollute our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:19. What do I mean then that a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But I say, the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharer in demons. So Paul was saying, be careful about what you do, because it has an effect. Genesis 6:5. And this is an illustration of what can go on when the enemy has access to pollute. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Now, that must have been a terrible place to live. the world where everything and the intent of every thought of someone's heart was evil continually. We don't live in a world like that because we've got Christians in the world who influence the world positively, but there are darkness that's still in place. Now, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and for all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. So in other words, they were genetically impure. And that's why the flood came. So bloodline and seedline iniquity enables the enemy to occupy our positions of government, our authority in the heavens, in those in the atmosphere and above, and in the kingdom of God, in that heavenly realm, and block the flow of God coming through us into the earth, through our gateways, as a gateway of heaven to earth. If he can block it, then our authority is diminished. So we know there are things that are called dragons, serpent seed, who came from Cain's line, giants, Nephilim seed, were a mixture of angelic seed, false kings, those nations, those Ites nations, which are all the nations which occupied the promised land, came from the seed of Ham. And all those familiar spirits and family spirits are all the things that affect us. So Ham's generational line, Genesis 10:6, the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. Now Canaan, obviously, was the name of the place where there eventually was, we call, the promised land. So this is representative of our, in our lives, of everything that God intends us to have. And then Cush became the father of Nimrod, and he became a mighty one on the earth. Now again, this is looking back to the Nephilim, the mighty ones. This was the beginning of the kingdom of Babel, or Babylon, which is a system of anti-God authority on the earth, which God wants us to deal with. So the Tower of Babel, Babylon, came from that. So the promised land is an illustration of our inheritance, both physical and spiritual. And the Ites nations occupied Israel's inheritance and were not about to simply walk out. It's like they weren't just going to let Israel back in there. They occupied the land. They were giants. They had six fingers and six toes. They were pretty large, like Goliath, who later on, and some of them were significantly bigger than Goliath in those days. So they were a fearful bunch. And of course, the 12 spies who went in, only two of them said, hey, this is our land, we're giant slayers, let's go and take it. The other 10 said, whoa, there are giants in the land, we're grasshoppers, we can't take our inheritance. So they wandered around 40 years in the wilderness until another generation arose to take their inheritance. And we've just seen a generation end and a new generation begin, and we're in the days of a new beginning. We have to be willing to take the giants of the land in our life to start with, and in our communities once we've done that. So we have to take the land. Israel was supposed to take possession of the land, and there were definitely things that needed to be dispossessed. Those cities in the land and those kings in the land. And you have a picture of this in Genesis 10:15. Canaan became the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and it goes through a list of the Ites. Jebusites, Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Arkite, Sinite, Aardvite, sounds like Aardvark, Zemarite. I'm not going to bother with the rest of the list. You can read it. But it ended up with Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happened to that? Their whole behavior was influenced by negativity. So it's really important that we understand these things. So the Canaanite gods and goddesses, which were from the demonic things that came out before the flood, engage in all sorts of sexual activity. And this is where a lot of the perversion and pollution came from. So they were involved in incest and bestiality, and they were worshippers that were involved in ritual prostitution, infant sacrifice, and so many other deviant activities. The power of sacrifice is really the highest power. That's why Jesus is the greatest sacrifice. Therefore, he has overcome all the other sacrifices. But these things are still affecting people today. They still affect our communities today. And where there is not a godly presence and light, darkness inhabits the land. And we need to bring light and change these things, but it has to be in us first. So there may well be things that we struggle with in our own lives that are a result of these influences, which are spiritual influences from our past. And there are many names of those gods you'll find in the Word. Baal, Chemosh, Milcom, Moloch, Dagon, Asherah, Astarte. And they all have spiritual fallen angelic beings behind them that we're called to deal with. Now, I know this sounds a little bit heavy, but I want to get it out, because if you don't deal with this stuff, it will still have an influence. If we want to inhabit our inheritance, become completely whole, spirit, soul, and body, we need to deal with those ites that now represent things in our lives and influences and negative behaviors and patterns of thinking and mindsets and the struggles that we face on a daily basis. Those things are hindering and blocking God's kingdom and the fullness of his provision for us. So we just can't afford to leave little strongholds or pockets of resistance. That is why they had to completely wipe out the people in the land. And they didn't. They made one mistake. They made a covenant with some of them in the land because they were fooled with the Gibeonites. And if you read in the Word of God, you'll see the Gibeonites became an issue right through Israel's history until eventually they wiped them all out in the time of David. That's what happens if we don't deal with it. It will become an ongoing problem in our lives and our generations unless we deal with it. So they will rob our inheritance. That's what they're designed to do. So ask God to show you what is there in our generational line that these things are being affected by. How are they affecting us? Ask God to show you. Do a lie bust. Ask God to show you, is there things in my life that are influenced by these things from the past? So we should then pray things like, search me, O God. Search my heart, O God. Try me. Put me on trial. Take me to the court and show me if there are anxious thoughts, mindsets which are not in alignment with your word. Use that scripture in Psalm 129. Repent of our sinful behaviors. Identify the patterns of iniquity represented by those nations. And there's a whole list of them. There are 40 of them. Not everyone's affected by all of them. So don't think, oh no, I've got to deal with 40 things. There may just be some things that your family line has a sort of opening to that you may be affected by. So a few of the main ones, the Hittite, dread and fear, Amorites with giants and obstacles. Some families just have obstacles in their way all the time. Never-ending problems arising. Canaanites, false prosperity, false merchants, traders. In other words, stealing, thievery, and things like that, that they use other things to make their money. Maybe things in family lines where families may have a history of crime. This is where it comes from. The Perizzite, license. Some things are just families. Nothing's off bounds. There is no moral standards. Why? Because there's an openness to not see anything from a godly perspective. Hittites, snakes, Jebusites, false oppressors. You know, these are just a few of the things. As you do a light bust to see what are the influences in my life, the way I think, the way I feel, then you'll identify where some of these come from. You can look at the lists and then you can then look to deal with them. So what do we do? Forgive our ancestors. Access the mobile court of God. Identificationally accept the accusations against me. Repent for the sin of our generations. Receive a mandate of divorce, separating us from the effect of those influences. And here's an example, a petition of divorce and a reaffirmation of covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare and submit this petition to the courtroom of heaven, asking that the Lord would hear this case. I do this in the presence of Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God. And sometimes it's good to do this with somebody else, particularly in a family maybe, or in a situation where someone stands with you in agreement when you do this, hears it. Then there's an accountability that's in place that will help you walk it out. So you can do this with others. Now, you know, use your own language when you do these things. This is just an example and various adaptations of examples of what other people have done. So this document positions the court in heaven for divorce between whatever entity or whatever nation or whatever ite, king that's affecting him and the following entities. Now, you may not use all these, but there are a whole list of them that I'm not going to read out, but all of them which represent the demonic forces, which represent different types of things that operate in our lives. You know, and there's a whole list of where they came from in scripture, just because if you want to see this is a scriptural thing and this is where the influences are, which will give you an indication of what they do, then here is a whole list of scriptures which you can use to deal with those things and identify how they might have influenced you. And there are obviously a long list, being 40 of them. I petition the court of heaven that all the entities mentioned in this document I would be given back to me 100% of what they have killed, stolen, and destroyed from me. Generationally, you want your heritage back. There are things that belong to you that you have not got physically or spiritually because they were robbed in past generations that should have passed them to you. So it's important to get those things back. Restoration. Restitution. And we have a law of restitution that God has given us to give us authority to get those things back. So I reaffirm my standing in the new covenant agreed with the Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was enacted by his blood before his death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. I declare that I've been bought with a price and therefore belong 100% to Jesus. I'm not belonging to these things. I belong to God. I petition the Ancient of Days to remove and destroy all DNA and RNA from ungodly entities mentioned in this document from my spirit, soul, and body, the whole of myself. Essentially, there may be genetic things that you have to deal with. That's why we have communion prayers, to deal with the DNA and the issues within our DNA, which may be genetic. So there are patterns or sequences within our DNA which come from other things, which I mentioned earlier. So there are many examples of court cases and courtroom cases on the internet. One of them is from a group called Heaven's Call Creative Blue Light Beings, which is a very interesting title. Always found that an interesting one. But they've got lots of court cases that they've done. And this is one that really deals with this. And we'll just finish with this before we give an opportunity of engaging ourselves. Father, today by faith, I enter into the realm of your presence, and by faith I ascend to the place of the government of your presence. Now, you see, people use different language. They have different ways of engaging. It's not always this sort of things. You make your own. You can simplify this. I can go into a court in about 20 seconds and get an accusation and learn to deal with it, because I now am very familiar with the process. I don't go through a lot of all the language and stuff, because I can step in there, it's part of me, and I can engage. So for me, it's like I call the court into session, I want to hear the accusation from this, and now I'm going to receive the judgment of God, I repent, renounce it, forgive, blah, 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 20 seconds, done. Then you've got a lifetime to work it out. Yeah, you can do it quickly, but then you've got to work it out every day so that you live in the good of it. So here is just examples of what others have used. Make your own. Father, today I come as a high priest for my DNA and my generational line. Father, today I stand under the government of your word, under the government of your provision, of your names for my life. You'll notice it's using the same basic principles that we use to plea, to use the blood of Jesus. Today, Father, in the name of Jesus, I own the power of the king of one of those nations. Today I own this as my own sin. Today I stand before you, Jesus, in the judicial system of the courts of heaven. And today, Jesus, I confess my sin to you, Jesus, as my mediator. Today, Jesus, today I ask that your word would come and judge me in this where my DNA carries a record of the king of, whatever it might be, and his power over my life. Today, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of that. I repent of yielding to it. I repent of my generational line yielding to it. And every piece of trading that has gone over my DNA through my family line by the trading of the king of whatever nation it is and whatever sin it is. Today, I confess the sin before these who stand here with me and those that stand by. Today, by faith, I ask for my divorce papers from the whatever king it is to be brought into this courtroom. Today it is written, I will serve no other God, that I would have no other God before you. Father, today I join myself with the testimony of your word and the new covenant of mystic union, because we're now one in Christ, in you, according to my confession of the truth of your word. So this is using the confession. If you don't make the confession, there's no power. So you need to use the confession, which is the truth. Today I reject every false joining with that king. I join myself with the lordship and the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my savior. He is my lord. He is my king. I choose to become his bride. I become one in union with him. Now, the whole purpose is here, if we're mixed, if there's a mixture in our heart or mixture in our DNA, then we're not pure. We cannot be whole. So this is to bring us into wholeness, and these are the declarations. I become one in union with him. Father, today I ask you to judge me in this area so that I would be found faultless in the responsibility for this condition of my life. Now, Father, I ask you to judge and judge in fire, judge in glory, judge in might and power, and empower me to become free and liberated. And this is the end goal, that I am free and liberated from every controlling system, mindset, behavior pattern, sin in my life. Now, if I don't own what they are, or I try and cover them up, or make coverings myself to put them right, I'm going to still be struggling and subject to them. I need to be free. So today, Lord, I thank you and ask you that you would judge everything that hangs on the outside of your destiny for my life. So anything that's hindrance and a weight or an entanglement, that's a thing that's stopping me, I want to see dealt with. I receive the papers of marriage, so I can receive positive papers, not just negative ones, to be free from something. I'm receiving the authority to be joined and one spirit with him. I agree with them. I attest to it with my DNA, the blood of Jesus, and the two witnesses in the court of heaven. So any sort of things that you might look in your life, any chronic conditions, and these are the things to look for, chronic things that are in your parents or grandparents that are in you that don't seem to go away. They're not just the things that you do as a one-off and then you repent and it's gone. These are things that are recurring cycles of behavior, mindsets, patterns, belief. They may be a result of a curse that's been spoken over that family line because of those sins, but those things are associated with our old identity, not our new. If we know our true inheritance as eternal identity, then those curses no longer carry operating power because Jesus broke the curse of the law. Therefore, let's make sure that they have no power over us by evidencing our new identity. If you have, here's my old identity, here's my new identity, I have a choice. Which one am I going to follow every day? Remember, we're crucified with Christ, so we have a choice. Hey, I don't have to follow this. I can follow that. But here are things, the whisperers who say, oh, yeah, come on, do this. Yeah, this is gonna make you feel better. This will give you what you need. All those little things that entice us to sin, those are the things we need to deal with. So James 1:14-15 says, each one of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So where does that lust come from? From those influences. Then lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. All sin damages and hurts us and other people. That's why God wants to set us free from these things. He doesn't want us to carry on living in bondage, being controlled, and not having the power to overcome. So we have to identify and deal with all those things. So how do we do it? Well, let's make sure we're ready to repent of our individual sins, our identity with our family iniquity, and then move forward. It's always about forgiveness. If you don't forgive, then there's no access to God's forgiveness. So we must forgive those who've done things to us and for us and have affected us negatively. Then we can renounce the patterns of iniquity associated with it and then use the courts of heaven. Apply kingdom justice. Get a divorce from each iniquitous pattern of behavior. Apply the blood of Jesus in communion. So that's a general pattern, and every one of us can do that. So make a case and present it before the judge. And we can do that now. We're going to make spend a short time. So think about, what do I need to be set free from? What issue? What reoccurring cycle? Make a case, whether it's for healing or for the blessings. Maybe you want to do something for your children. Or you just want a case to set you free from a particular behavior. What is the basis of our case? The nature and eternal precepts and attributes of God. Evidence from his word and testimony. Call for justice on the basis of that and use the verdict in authorization. So let's just start to think about anything you want to deal with right now. And then think about, okay, we're going to convene a court case. Now, sometimes, obviously, if it may take longer than others. You may want to just get some of the things you want to do privately today, like ask God for a lie bust or a court bust, as we call it sometimes, to deal with what is it? You know, show me those areas which are influenced by any of these things. So I encourage you to close your eyes and just begin to focus. Just think about that, any issues. Maybe just ask God to reveal that. I ask you, Father, to open up heaven today and reveal any influences in our lives that have come from a result of those kings or nations that may have passed that on to us generationally through iniquity and through epigenetic effects within our DNA. Just open that realm and give revelation to each person here of some area that you would like them to be free from today. Now, by faith, we can call that court, the mobile court, into session. You may use the eyes of your heart and activate your imagination to picture that court and picture you standing there. We've just used your senses to sense that you're going to stand in the court, that God is there as the judge. Jesus is standing with you as your advocate. He takes his seat in that place of authority. Call for the accuser. Call forth that nation, that king, that effect, that sin, the familiar spirit associated with it. Just call and demand to hear the accusation. You are standing under the covering of the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and you have a legal right, clothed with robes of righteousness. And if you feel in any way guilt, shame, and condemnation, right now, receive robes of righteousness. You stand in and through what Jesus did on the cross, cleansed and clothed with new robes. So just listen for any accusations that may come. That accusation may come as a thought in your mind. An impression, a feeling, a sense, a knowing. Or you just may hear it directly into your spirit. But once you hear it, repent, renounce of it, forgive and release where it came. If it was yourself, forgive and release yourself. If it was a generational line, forgive and release your generations. Now just hear the Father, who is the judge, make the verdict. Hear the words over that behavior, that mindset, whatever it is you've brought, not guilty. Receive that verdict. The Father writes it on a document, which is a legal document, which is your legal right to be free and separated from that behavior or mindset or bondage or addiction, whatever it might be. And as that judgment goes forth, the judgment goes forth against all your accusers, that they know that they have no legal right to accuse you again unless you give them it. So take the authority given to you by the word of God and the verdict. Place it into your life as a foundation that enables you to say no, that enables you to rebuke the evil one, to take captive every thought, and to walk in freedom. And you can make a choice to use that authority every day of your life to give the enemy no more access, to close the door on all access, because you now agree that you are free, that you have authority as a son of God, and you have victory through the blood of Jesus and the cross, and you are an overcomer. You are called, and your identity is to overcome, to have victory, and to reign in life in Christ Jesus. And you are seated in heavenly places to enforce that authority, to see God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is just a short example, but I encourage you to make this a lifestyle. Use the authority you have as a son of God to stand in the court and just make sure that the enemy has nothing in you. Jesus said, "The enemy has nothing in me." We want to get that we are conformed to his image. We have our minds renewed so that we can stand as a son of God to effectively outwork who we are and fulfill our destiny in God's kingdom. Okay, so I encourage you, if you want to carry on with that today, maybe you want to spend some time doing that again, but feel free to know that you have access to use these things to get back what belongs to you. Whatever's been stolen, whatever's been robbed, to you, your family, your generational line, use your authority. Don't live in bondage or under the influence of the enemy when you can be over him. Jesus said that he's given us all authority over all the power of the enemy, and the enemy can be under our feet. So let's crush him there. Amen.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.